All right, I want to get back into this Penguins thing for just a moment here. Maybe even a bit longer. 866-391-1020 is that number. The curious case of Dave from North Hills from Tuesday, I guess it would have been. Today's Thursday. Yeah. Tuesday. So we just got sent the statement from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And from a public relations person who I've known a long time and who I absolutely trust. Jen from the Penguins is wonderful. She just is. And the statement we received from her reads, "Our collective thoughts continue to be with the individual injured during Monday night's game and his family. Guest safety at PPG Paints Arena is always our top priority. In response to this isolated incident, we are reviewing all details from the game. While this is an ongoing investigation, we can confirm the patron was not using the designated staircase at the time of the incident, and the safety barrier remained intact. All safety barriers were constructed in accordance with the building and safety codes and have been properly maintained." Pardon me, I'm sorry. "The facility is inspected annually and remains safe for all guests." That is the statement we received from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, Dave from the North Hills, who we vetted out some, asked a couple questions, and confident was sitting in that section the other night, was, and I'd love for him to call back if he's listening at 866-391-1020. He made the claim that he saw the guy with his eyes, his own eyes, not somebody else's eyes, because it's hard to see with somebody else's eyes, walk down the steps, and the guy had never made it to his seats. He was just entering the building for the first time. And he missed a step. And missing a step turned into missing two steps, which turned into going over the barrier. I generally believe people who say they saw things. Here's the thing, though. I know who this public relations person is. And I understand the need to, you know, get away from liability and everything. But I also know her to be as honest as the day is long. I just do. So the curious case of Dave from the North Hills now throws a monkey wrench into it. I don't think we'd get duped. I think the guy maybe thought he saw something that he didn't see. Or when he called the other day and had this long protracted story, which I'm very confident he was there. He may have thought he saw something that he didn't see, but it does work in contrast to what a caller here said he saw with his own eyes. 866-391-1020. Because here's the thing, with the statement that the Penguins put out there and the graph where it says that we can confirm the patron was not using the designated staircase at the time of the incident and the safety barrier remained intact. When you go so far as to say was not using the designated staircase, there's no true gray area there. There's just not. That's making a definitive statement. That's saying the fault is that of the person who fell. And that's saying you weren't walking where we built a place for you to walk. And by virtue of that, oh, yeah, that's on you. That ain't on us. And if that is the case, that the person was not walking in this on the staircase or was not walking in the aisle in between, like where you sit down, then it is on the guy. Here's one thing I'd love to know is this. Is there video of the guy the whole time? You know, I often say this, that in you think about different things in ballparks, and you think about fights and things like that. And generally, people start yakking at each other, and then 20 goofs turn their phones on, and that's how we end up seeing these fights. But I often say that seemingly everywhere we go in public, especially big stadiums of the such, you have to operate as if you're being videotaped every single place that you go, because a lot of times you are. Are we on video all the time at these places? And if not, maybe, just maybe for liability's sake, that might be the way to go. People hardly ever fall out of these seats. Millions and millions of people go to stadiums and don't. But I think of the ever-expanding way in which people, and you think of some cars that come with this, just always have a dashboard camera on. And it's the way of the world now. Not because we're overly litigious, we kind of are, but because there's a lot to gain and a lot to lose in a courtroom. And there are a lot of people who just don't want to go to a courtroom, and there's a lot to gain and a lot to lose by just, well, getting a statement, or excuse me, a settlement, and not even going into that courtroom. It's going to be interesting moving forward, and maybe we would have seen it already, but probably not if the Penguins own it, if there's any video out there of this. But here's the thing. If I'm a fan and I'm sitting in the game and a guy is just crawling over the seats and stepping on the butt part of a seat and then going up and over or going down one, I don't videotape that as a fan. You know why? Because that's happened zillions of times. But the other side of it is this. All those times it's happened, if someone were to fall, it's on them because you're not supposed to be doing that if that's in fact what happened. I got a feeling this is long from over. If this guy does recover and he gets out of the hospital, it's going to be super interesting to see if he tries to go after the Penguins or not. I don't necessarily know if he will, but if that statement is in contrast to what he was actually doing, I think he certainly will. 866-391-1020 is that number. That's 866-391-1020. Coming up next, I want to get into this. It seems like we talk about this once a week, and for, well, good reason. There was another gun found at the airport. Not just another one, but 2 days in a row. There was one this morning. There was one yesterday. And TSA is stretched super, super thin right now. And they're really not in the mood either. You know why? Because they're not getting paid. So that being said, we talk about this, and I want to talk to responsible gun owners coming up next. If, in fact, these people are caught and they're trying to take a gun into the airport, I have what the fines can be. I have what the punishment can be. It's written right in front of me. And I know that you really can't be put in jail for this. That being said, is that enough, and do we need to do more? We'll talk about the guy at PPG Paints Arena, and also I'll introduce this story where it's happened 2 days in a row now. Gosh, I hope it doesn't happen 3 in a row. We get into that coming up in just a couple minutes. Here we are, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. I will get into this situation at the airport in just a little bit because I got to talk to responsible gun owners. This is always one of those situations where I ain't in this game. I'm not. I don't own a gun. Never shot a gun. I've never even held a real gun in my hand. BB gun. We used to shoot milk cartons with a BB gun. I promise. But I've never shot a real gun. And I'm not like boastful or braggadocious. It's just happenstance. I never have. So I need to talk to people who know about guns and are responsible gun owners and find out how they feel about this thing that just keeps happening at the airport. But first, this statement from PPG Paints Arena. I take everything on the surface, and I take everything at their words. We had a caller who was adamant the other day. Adamant. David North Hills. He saw this guy fall. The guy went down the steps. He missed a step. Then he missed another step. Then he went over. Penguins are saying, man, nope. He didn't use the proper stairwell. Brian's in Irwin. Hi, Brian. Brian, I hate to interrupt your transaction, but would you like to speak?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just stopped at Dunkin' Donuts to get a coffee for my wife here. So first off, I think everyone in the audience is probably hoping for the full recovery of this gentleman here. But I hope, as we look at this statement, that the Penguins are, you know, using full transparency. I feel like in their statement, they said, upon video evidence we've concluded, it would gain some of the public trust. But I know I've been to PPG recently. I have three small boys, and we went to some of the monster truck shows that they've had there. And I know it's my own responsibility as I'm trying to lug three kids down those steep steps. I have one on my shoulders, one on my arms. And I'm thinking to myself, if I fall, this is my responsibility. Terrible accidents sometimes happen, and you're asking about litigation. Even when the Fern Hollow Bridge collapsed, I saw attorneys posting, hey, have you been injured by a bridge collapse? The attorneys whether it be the individual or not, are the ones that are going to be pushing for this to be litigation and a settlement of some sort. So it's just going to be wait and see. You find the right attorney that says, hey, we'll get you X number of dollars, but the gentleman may also have life-altering injuries if he fully recovers or recovers at all.
He could, but if he was doing something where it's definitely posted, or I don't even want to say assumed, but if he was doing something that was not in the realm of how you're supposed to comport yourself, then I wonder how that would go over in court. Let's get back to the steepness, though. This is where I'm kind of at odds with most people. There's been a big clamoring and a lot of people talking about, and my kids were little once, and they were in that building once. I don't know, Disney on Ice, this, that, Penguins games, everything. And there was even a Trib story today, Brian, about the steep pitch of the upper deck and all that and how people are afraid to go. My contention is this. When that building was built, and a lot of new buildings around this country were built, especially hockey-type or basketball-type arenas, people complained so much, or one of the one things they wanted was to be close to the action. You can't be close to the action unless you build it on a pretty decent slope.
Yeah, and I heard you talk about that on Tuesday as well, and I agree. People were paying big bucks to go to these events, and so they want to have a close-up view, and they don't want to be in peanut heaven.
Right, and if they don't, if people do pay all that money, and then the building is built, and that upper deck is not sloped at a pretty steep pitch, and I'm sure, by the way, I don't know this, but I would bet everything I have that there is a maximum angle at which in North America, or at least in America, that you can build steps in an arena. There has to be a maximum angle, I'm saying, that it can't be greater than that. But anyway, if they wouldn't build it to where you could have as good a view as possible, then the other side would surface, which would be, these seats stink. We are paying for some of it for our tax money or this or that or our gambling money. It's $30 to park outside. I get this seat and I can't even see anything because it's sloped and all I look at is the back of the guy's head in front of me. You can't win for losing. So if you err on the side of giving everybody the best seat in the house or not a bad seat in the house, I think that's probably a better side to err on. And a lot of people who are complaining here, and I know Paul Alexander can speak to this, people seem to have just started surfacely complaining about this arena. Obviously must never have been in the upper reaches of the Civic Arena and those orange seats. That felt like you were sitting on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, looking straight down with the unmistakable smell of nachos and spilled beer and maybe a little urine and vomit mixed in. But those were as steep as humanly possible. And your head was quite literally hitting the roof on some of those rows. This isn't a new thing. I guess you just can't please everybody. All right, I want to save a full segment for it, though. So we will get into it in just a couple minutes. These guns at the airport. The other thing is this, too. These government workers not being paid. How many people are going to keep going to work if you're not getting paid? That's a real slippery slope. I mean, an incredible slippery slope. I don't know how much longer I'd be doing it. I heard Marty talking about on his show that morale is down with the TSA agents, that a bunch of them called off or went and took a bunch of sick days. I don't blame them one bit. It's time for people to come together, much like Fetterman and McCormick have, figure it out on both sides and make sure people get paid. Make sure people are working. If I ain't getting paid, I ain't coming to work. I don't care if I am working for $6 an hour. I don't care if I'm making $10 million a year. It's work. You're not in a charity. It's not a charitable endeavor. Those people should stop, walk off the job. I'll tell you this. If the TSA agents, and I'm not saying they should do this, but it'd be pretty interesting. If all those TSA agents, that's the field it would take. If they said, we ain't coming to work, and they truly didn't show up for work over this weekend, and said, boop, and air traffic shut down and was paralyzed in this country this weekend, those two sides would get together pretty damn quick on Monday morning. I guarantee you as much. TSA holds a pretty strong stick in that it could force travel paralysis in this country and essentially internationally. If that all happened and they banded together and said, we ain't coming to work, government would be back open by Wednesday. Believe me. 866-391-1020. They are working, though. And I want to go over something they found the last 2 days at Pittsburgh International. That's coming up in just a little bit. News, bottom of the hour. KDK. It might be the bet when you mix the like life and the athletics and the academics and the campus, it might be the best place to go to college in this country. Stanford. Honestly, out on the farm. They call it the farm. It's just a fantastic place. If you ever get an opportunity to go and check it out, do that. We'll get into this situation with TSA in just a moment, but one of the best callers you'll ever find, Aaliyah and Larmer. How's that school bus treating you, Aaliyah?
Good.
Yeah, everybody well behaved?
Yes, they are.
Okay, no knuckleheads on that school bus?
No, I got good kids.
Okay, good. Well, I know why they're good, because they don't want to get upside of you, that's for sure. All right, what about this guy that fell at the arena?
I have never been to a Penguins game, sad to say, but I've been in PPG Paint. Now, with the all three stations reported, they interviewed witnesses. They said the man that was coming down the steps stumbled and fell over. I don't know, maybe the Penguins need to talk to those people, but I know I've gone to March Madness down there twice, and then I went to see Chris Brown. Them steps are steep. I'm only 5'3", and I take my time because, number one, I'm scared of heights. But I take my time. I walk like a baby going down them steps and going back up because I don't want to fall.
Right, and a caller called here, Aaliyah, just the other day and corroborated exactly what all three stations who interviewed people who were eyewitnesses, that the guy was coming down the steps. So it does seem like we have sort of conflicting reports right now.
My thing is, do they have it on video? Maybe they try to get ahead of the situation, or maybe I don't think they would be afraid to get sued. But it's an accident. What you need to be doing is going to this man and his family saying, how can we help you? What can we do for you? That shows you care.
Yeah, I would agree with you. To try to, no matter, unless it was egregious, unless somebody was being a total bonehead, was acting like an idiot and did something way out of line, I would agree with you. The best way to figure it out is, well, try to figure it out. Would you agree with me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How can you resolve the problem moving forward?
I told you I'd vote for you for mayor. Why didn't you run?
I don't know. I need to.
I don't even get a vote. I don't even get a vote, and I'd vote for Aaliyah. And really, she could run. She could run on any ticket, and she would win. She should run for Allegheny County Council. Is what should happen. 100%. You know why? She solves everything with logic. Whether it's a shooting, whether it's somebody falling at the arena, whether it's a tax problem, she'll call in and she solves it with logic. My favorite caller, 100%. And she drives a school bus and the kids don't fool around. Think about that. Think about how much respect you have to be the school bus driver and the kids don't screw around. All right, airport. Let's get to it. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. So how about this parlay, this two-leg parlay over the course of about 24 hours or so? Guy that got hit today, think about going to the airport this early and having your day ruined because you're an imbecile this early. County police have charged a West Virginia man after a firearm was discovered at the main security checkpoint at Pittsburgh International Airport this morning at 4:38 a.m. So my man was probably trying to get on that 5:50 flight, one of the very first ones out, right? So this guy had a handgun in his passenger's backpack, main security checkpoint. 32-year-old Robert Browning. And it was determined he did not possess a valid concealed carry permit, facing one misdemeanor charge for carrying a firearm without a license. FBI also notified. Now, the civil fines, because that's what we're looking at, civil fines here from the TSA are up to $10,000. Repeat offenders can be fined $13,900. This is a two-leg parlay that began yesterday with a knucklehead from Greensburg, I believe, being charged. So, or Latrobe, I apologize. 11:44 a.m. yesterday, TSA observed a handgun within a passenger's carry-on bag. Same thing. 51-year-old John Fry, F-R-Y-E, determined he did not possess a valid concealed carry permit, facing one misdemeanor charge for carrying a firearm without a license. FBI investigating, TSA might fine him civilly $10,000. That being said, I want to talk to gun owners. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. We got this two-leg parlay over the course of 2 days where two people take guns to the airport. We have a running tally, which I don't even know how many. It's definitely in the hundreds at the airport over the past 3-4 years. No question about that. That being said, if somebody cannot be charged criminally for this, and they can pay a fine, they can essentially get their gun back, if you're a responsible gun owner, and we don't know if these people were up to anything nefarious or if it was just an accident. I'm leaning toward it was just an accident. They forgot, and it just happened to be in that bag from last week or whatever. But isn't that in and of itself irresponsibility? If you don't know it's in your backpack and you don't know you can't go through the airport TSA with it, if you're a responsible gun owner, shouldn't you be pushing for legislation or pushing for punishment that's a lot steeper than what is on the books right now? That's the part I don't understand from the gun lobby. If you truly want there to be a safer world and a safer country, why wouldn't you make this a one strike and you're out thing? Somebody like this, and I get the Second Amendment, but if you try to take a gun to the airport, tell me why I'm off base for thinking that one of the fines should be, or one of the stipulations should be, you shouldn't be allowed to own a firearm for, I don't know, 5 years. I don't know if you should be put in jail unless it's proven that you were trying to do something in terms of, criminal and maybe shoot somebody with it. But how do we know they weren't? Why shouldn't this be a one strike and you're out thing? Everybody in this country knows that you can't take a gun to the airport. Everybody in this country knows since 9/11, you can't screw around at the airport. Everybody in this country knows, or should know, the responsibility that comes with gun ownership. So if I told you that it was 5 years, if you get caught with a gun at the airport, you're not supposed to have it. No questions asked, black and white, no wiggle room at all, no firearms, and you got to turn yours in if you take a gun to the airport. What would you think about that? All right, in the 5 o'clock hour, I got a story about juries and a crackhead that almost blew her face up. Is that how I'm supposed to do it, I think? Anyway, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. And maybe the crackhead who almost blew her face up, and it was local. Maybe she'll eventually go in front of a jury. Who knows? Anyhow, that's that. We were talking about guns at the airport. Twofer. One yesterday, one today. One Wednesday, one Thursday. How about the guy up and at him early this morning from West Virginia? 4:38 a.m., Pittsburgh International, TSA, caught this fella named Robert with a handgun, 32 years old. Didn't have a permit for it, had it in his backpack. Step out of line, sir. Is this your bag? Yes, come with me to this room. And then the FBI's in there. I propose anybody who gets caught at the airport with a gun that shouldn't have it gets their all their guns taken away from them for at least 5 years. Why is that such a bad thing? Honestly, you are going into a place, and this happens so much. You know why? Because the penalty's civil. It needs to be stricter. Ron's in Oakmont. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Colin. How you doing?
I'm very good. How are you today?
Good. You know, every time I hear this, I shake my head because, I mean, I have guns and I have a permit, but for me personally, $10,000, that's a lot of money. I don't know what these guys are thinking. I mean, you know, that who has $10,000 sitting around just because they're too stupid to check their bags?
Well, the fines are up to $10,000. So I don't even know if it reaches that for the first first offense. The other thing, though, Ron, that is, I think, more important here is just because you tell them what your intent was, oh, it was an accident, doesn't make that true.
Right. I misunderstood. I thought the fine was automatically 10. I mean, if the fine was automatically 10 grand, I bet you would see it wouldn't happen nearly as much.
I don't know. I don't know about that. You know why? We see, how many did we see last year? 53 or something like that? It happens a lot. Now, maybe all but one, or maybe every single one, is honestly, truly 100% an accident. But if you start taking the guns away from people, I think they might end up being more responsible gun owners. Dylan's in Canonsburg. Hi, Dylan.
Hey, Colin. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. I'm not a gun owner. I'm not anti-gun. I'm just not a gun owner. But every responsible gun owner tells me the people they're maddest at are people who own guns and aren't responsible.
Right. I have several guns. Never once have I ever misplaced it. Never once did I not know where it was on my person or my vehicle, what have you, in storage. And I guess my concern now, you know, with government shutdown and, you know, Marty was talking about TSA agents calling off or having to get secondary employment. What's to say that they're not going to miss one? You know, I really wonder, like, what is the purpose of somebody taking a gun on a plane? Are they thinking that they're not going to get caught? And then I'm starting to think maybe they actually do get guns through, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me stop you for a moment. This is a great conversation. And here's why, Dylan, and I'll let you finish. All the guns that they tell us they get at the airport, okay? We still don't know, even when it's fully functional, they're getting paid, they're making overtime, everybody's happy. How is Colin Dunlap here in Green Tree at this studio, or Dylan sitting in Canonsburg, how are we assured when it's humming and it's working that their success rate is 100% anyway?
Oh, that's exactly it. You know, now more than ever. And, you know, it's been several years since I've flown, and I know that, you know, the terminal is new, but, like, you know, what's the procedure? What's the screening procedure? And what's to say that it hasn't gotten through before? I'm really curious about that. And, you know, like you said, this civil stuff, it's just nonsense. It just needs to be criminal. Somebody needs to do jail time for trying to sneak a gun in. Simple as that.
Right. And, you know, a defense attorney, a very good friend of mine who's a defense attorney, a pretty prominent one. He's actually trying a homicide case right now in the city. He told me years ago. He said, you know, the reason why, it's civil. I said, well, come on. He said, do you ever see them walking with somebody and do a perp walk with somebody who had a gun at the airport? No. It never happens. They don't go to the local magistrate normally. They don't even make it to court. They don't have handcuffs on the guy. It's a civil thing. They don't even appear. They pay a fine and it's over. It's done. Now, if more people advocated for it to be a criminal offense, I think maybe we'd be on to something. But some people say, well, it's just an accident. I think you're totally okay to be alarmed by this. Honestly.